Classic Business. Loeb.
Well, as we just heard from Chris, ESG investing is gaining significant traction all over the world. And this morning, shareholder activists Just Share and environmental law organization Client Earth, I don't know if they wrote the letter this morning, but it was certainly published by Bloomberg this morning that they'd submitted a letter to 50 of the country's largest pension funds about their fiduciary duty to their members and to savers. The local industry oversees about 4.2 trillion rands worth in retirement investments, and that's according to the two groups. I've got Tracy Davies, Executive Director for Just Share, and Ndaba Zinhle Mkhize, the CIO of the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund, on the line. Thanks for your time tonight. Tracy, pension funds in South Africa have a legal obligation to account for the financial effects of climate change on their investments. That's according to your legal opinion, and you're clearly lobbying money managers to pay closer attention to the issue. Just share your background on what led you to obtain an opinion from a luminary. Rosemary Hunter is probably one of the most respected pension law experts in the country.
Hi, thanks, Michael. Yes, absolutely, she is. Just Share is a non-profit shareholder activism and responsible investment organization, and we promote the use of investor power to drive better company behavior for a fairer South Africa. So, as I'm sure you know, and as your listeners are aware, climate change poses serious risks to our society and to our economy. And pension funds wield enormous power in our financial system. And they're also uniquely mandated to ensure the long-term sustainability of their funds' investments. And that means having a careful look at long and short-term risks to those investments. Now, climate change is a material financial risk, and pension fund trustees should be considering it. But we don't believe that South African pension fund trustees are paying enough attention to climate risk, and that's why we commissioned this opinion jointly with Client Earth, which is a UK-based NGO that does a lot of this kind of work overseas.
Now, Ndaba Zinhle, to bring you in, and thank you for your time tonight, the fact that the members of your fund derive an income working for or having worked for a predominantly coal-fired utility is somewhat incidental. Perhaps some might argue it isn't, but really when it comes to climate risk mitigation, it's everyone's responsibility. We see the likes of oil companies, a Norway sovereign wealth fund responding to the climate change risks through a range of different steps, some of them involve divesting from fossil fuels, others involve planting forests. The problem for South Africa is we are dependent on coal for almost all of our power generation. We have very high unemployment. That really complicates the debate around reducing this reliance. How do you approach the trade-offs as the CIO of the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund?
Good evening. The Eskom Pension and Provident Fund, EPPF for short, takes ESG factors seriously, encompassing environmental, social, and governance factors. We have been signatories to the PRI, the Principles for Responsible Investment, for a long time, and continue to report our progress on an annual basis. We don't really believe that there are responsible investments and other irresponsible investments. We want to make sure that everything is responsible. That's why we take ESG into account when our listed investments as well as unlisted investments. We manage about 144 billion rands in both private as well as public markets. So we have various systems that we use, some of the ESG rating systems, which are able to systematically rate all the companies that we have, and we've been implementing that for a long time. We also make sure that the money that we manage in-house using our own asset managers or analysts, as well as the portion that we give to other external asset managers to manage on our behalf, that both of those funds are actually taking ESG into account. We look at it on an annual basis to make sure that it is being taken in evaluation decisions. The important question to look at, though, is do we have negative screens and say we won't invest in a company, or do we engage and prefer to have an ESG momentum, meaning starting with a company that was not really doing much for the environment. And as we engage with them, both using the carrot and the stick, the carrot being that they will be rated properly and we will not demand a higher rating for them if they are actually doing all the ESG issues. The stick being that the dire rating will be affected, and if we see that even taking all those engagements positively, we could step it up to actually voting on AGMs or doing something about it that is more tangible actions. So we prefer to engage with companies. And we've seen positive change in this issue. The mere fact that we as Eskom Pension Fund, as an asset owner, are looking at this and asking those questions, asking not only our internal managers, but also the other external asset managers, has made everyone take this issue seriously.
Tracy, Eskom is probably one of, or the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund is, as Ndaba Zinclair said, probably one of the most engaged and most active on ESG issues. What have you found in response from some of the other pension funds whom you've sent the letter to?
Well, Michael, I have to say that there is a big difference between ESG integration and what we have said in this opinion and our letter to pension funds around climate risk. So we know that many investors do engage with companies. Unfortunately, this happens behind closed doors, and we're just not seeing any impact in company behavior as a result. I mean, if pension fund engagement was on climate was being effective, then you wouldn't have a situation like we do in South Africa, where our biggest carbon emitter and one of the biggest carbon emitters in the world, Sasol, doesn't have any targets whatsoever to reduce its carbon emissions. So, you know, there are lots of things that are particularly climate-related that pension funds should be doing, and we don't see any of them doing this, and certainly not publicly. I don't think even the Eskom Pension Fund has a clear climate policy which explains the fund's understanding of climate risk and how the board identifies and manages it, or an investment strategy with clear and measurable targets to remove portfolio carbon risk. So I think it's a little bit easy for pension funds and asset managers to say we invest, we use ESG integration in all our investment decisions, because we haven't seen in South Africa that that's really resulted in any robust engagement with companies. It certainly doesn't seem to result in any public engagement, no speaking out at AGMs, no filing of shareholder resolutions. And the bottom line is that South African high-emitting companies are not making progress on this issue at all. And so clearly that much more needs to be done by the investment industry.
And Ndaba Zinclair, what do you make of that observation that we're not seeing the voting at AGMs? We're not seeing pension funds engage publicly on these issues, and perhaps too much is being done behind closed doors. What do you do to make more transparent how you apply ESG factors to the assets, for example, that you intend to buy, or how regularly you measure compliance against certain targets that you then set your investee companies?
I believe many pension funds and asset owners and asset managers do need to be able to engage, so that you don't have just one or two asset owners, but you have a number of the asset managers and asset owners. But certainly, we as the PPF do have an annual engagement plan that sets the objectives for each and every calendar year that is approved by our Strategic Investment Committee. We will focus on certain companies, and we do not have an ESG score that just applies uniformly across different industries. Industries that are heavy polluters will get a heavier focus on the environmental side of things. We'll be able to measure the progress they've been making, be either in water usage or in the pollution levels, all those type of metrics that we can over a period of time. When the companies are not paying attention, that is when we would go to an AGM ourselves and do raise those in the open. However, if they are taking into account what we are doing, there is no need to name and shame. We prefer to to see the real change, and we have been able to see that real change. Over and above that, we've also been able to make real take opportunities to invest in social infrastructure and to invest in renewable energy, in solar power, in wind energy. For us, it's looking at a balanced engagement plan, and knowing that our assets have to be there for a long time to support the ratio of our assets to our liabilities, which at this stage is positive.
Tracy, just to conclude here, and there's so much more to talk about, unfortunately, we just don't have the time tonight. We're going to have a panel discussion on this at a later date. What you did find in the legal opinion is that in exercising the powers of the fund, the trustees must protect the existing rights of the fund's members, but are not entitled to advance the rights of the existing or current members to advantage their rights over their dependents or their future rights of future fund members. I probably worded that ineloquently, but in light of the findings, there's an opinion that was a 2007, I think, it was a non-binding guidance note from the Registrar of Pension Funds, PF 130, and it said that the primary obligation of a fund's investments is to provide optimum returns for its beneficiaries. That cannot hold against what you have just found in terms of your legal advice from Rosemary Hunter. Surely that must be now withdrawn.
Well, yes, that is one of the recommendations that Rosemary makes in her opinion. And of course, that guidance can be held to be true in terms of this opinion if you add for the long term at the end of it. What we have to understand here is, putting aside all the issues about ESG integration and engagement with companies and all of that kind of thing, people with retirement savings face two serious risks from climate change. Firstly, that their investments will suffer huge losses if their funds are too heavily invested in fossil fuels. And secondly, that if we don't tackle climate change, the world that they retire into will be an extremely unpleasant one. So this is really something that impacts all of us, and it shouldn't be about, you know, whether one pension fund is doing better than another. We all have an interest in this as a society and as pension fund beneficiaries. And as the legal opinion says, pension fund trustees have a duty to do much more. And I say this again, with all due respect to Mr. Mkize and the work that his fund does on ESG, there is absolutely no question that pension fund trustees in South Africa are simply not doing enough to even understand what this risk means for the future beneficiaries of their funds.
That was Tracy Davies, Executive Director for Just Share, and Ndabazinhle Mkize, the Chief Investment Officer of the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund.